You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From Toyota Center, it is officially Rockets Media Day, and the 2016-2017 Houston Rockets basketball season, well, it's officially underway. On that happy note, welcome to a new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and while I've been out at Toyota Center all day listening to the Rockets, the coaches, the executives, the players, getting a sense for what this team is trying to do in this upcoming season. Training camp, of course, starts tomorrow, but Media Day, it's really a great time to talk about what they did over the summer, expectations for the year as a whole, because really, once we get into the preseason, and especially the regular season, the answers are going to be very narrowly tailored. Players are going to talk about what's right in front of them that night, who's coming up the next game, so on and so forth, because the NBA is too good to think big picture during the season. It's truly one game at a time. That's how good the competition is. So really, Media Day, it's one of the few chances that you can really talk about a lot of bigger picture things and get some good answers. And if you haven't heard yet, you were able to live stream it at Rockets.com. If you weren't able to do that, you can also go to Rockets.com and play back any of the interviews. There's full video, full audio, great stories from the Chronicle, a lot of different websites. So there's a lot of ways that you can take in information. But for me, what I kind of want to highlight in our show on this Friday, September 23rd, the official opening of camp, is some of the things that might not stand out. For me, Media Day, it's kind of a tale of two different sessions. Most players, they'll talk for 10 to 15 minutes, but about the first 3 minutes, it's planned. Players, coaches, they know what they want to say. They know what points they want to get out there. And then the deeper you go into interviews, the more reflective you get. Because that's when the media can start asking questions that, you know, might take them off script and might end up revealing a little bit more about the player, the team, the coach, whoever it may be. So as we talk about this 2016-2017 Media Day and this upcoming Rockets season, there's about five or six moments that I thought that really stood out. And so on this Friday afternoon, thought this was a perfect time to recap it in case any of you missed. I'm going to start with James Harden, because really with the Houston Rockets, everything starts with James Harden. And what I was struck by after listening to him for 15 minutes is just how calm, just how steady he was. When I think of James Harden, he's always been fair to me in the media. I've never had any pessimism towards him as an individual. But one thing that stands out, for most of his time in Houston, these first four seasons, he's had a chip on his shoulder. He's wanted to prove that the Thunder, you know, should have given him that max contract and shouldn't have traded him. He wanted to prove that he, not Stephen Curry, was the MVP. He's wanted to prove that the critics who slam him over defense or anything else or being a foul magnet are off. He's always had a chip on his shoulder, and some of that definitely leaks into the media. And some of it's good, because certainly bitterness can be a powerful motivator. However, it can be overdone. And when I think about James Harden, both on and off the floor, some of the moments that haven't been his best in Houston, I'm thinking about playoff games that he seems to have never gotten in a groove. I think sometimes with James, there's, whether it be the officials, the other team, whatever it may be, in the past he gets in a here we go again mindset. And the bitterness, whatever it is, it tends to control him. And I think sometimes that mentality can make it tough to lead, because people want steadiness. People want calmness and a sense of assuredness from the leader they are following. And so when I heard James asked about himself as a leader and what he's going to do differently this upcoming season, I thought his answer was really revealing and showed me a different side of James Harden than I had seen in his first 4 years. So I'm going to go ahead and run the first clip.
Honestly, like, last year was frustrating, you know. Numbers, you know, individually was, you know, pretty solid. But just the love and the excitement, you know, wasn't there, you know. And so I had to look in the mirror this summer and and realize that, you know, I got to change and I got to, you know, I got to, you know, get back to how, you know, how I was. And so, you know, my focus level, the things that I can control, I have to be a lot better at. And then once I get myself figured out, then I can help others. And so that was one of the main things that I focus on this summer. And so that's why I'm in a good place right now. I'm excited. And that's, you know, why, you know, I gathered the guys together to you know, get this thing going.
That was Harden on his leadership. But before I talk too much about that, I also want to play you back something else he said. It was a question about Jeff Bezdelic, and then his answer delved into a couple other themes as well. So here's what James said on that subject.
Every day. And it's different. Like, you know, since he's been here, I've been here for the last few weeks training. I mean, just, you know, we go over principles, we go over different techniques, we go over, you know, your footing. Just small, those small details that can help, you know, and that's something that we hadn't had the last few years. So it's those attention to detail things that's going to help us. That's why I said the vibe is different, you know. Guys like me still need to be taught.
Can he help you offensively?
Now, I don't want to say there was no bitterness at all in Harden's interview. Someone else asked him in a different question if he was motivated by the All-NBA snub going 29-7-6. And not being on any All-NBA team. And he often said, sure, he's motivated by everything. So certainly he's aware and he uses that as fuel. But I did not get the same sense of outwardly bitter than I have seen in the past. And I think that's a very different version of James Harden, and it's encouraging. As far as the first clip, what I thought was really interesting was the part about how he knew he had to look in the mirror and change. In the past, I don't think James Harden would be secure enough to admit that. A lot of interviews with the media, his public persona, he was very guarded. He always felt he had to put his best foot forward. I think this was, it showed him taking responsibility. So if you believe that James Harden bears some or a lot of responsibility for the decline in culture this past year, step one of fixing it, it's to acknowledge that there was a problem. And so you're seeing James take responsibility in a way that I hadn't seen before. So rather than just pay, you know, lip service, well, he's working out hard and he's in great shape, his words are painting a very different picture than we have ever seen in James Harden's 4 years in Houston. Now, is that going to transfer on the floor? We have to wait and see. But I don't think this is comparable to just, you know, well, it's a new season, so they're going to be optimistic. This was revealing. This is something new, and I think it's very intriguing. The other thing, that last soundbite, I really, really enjoyed. He was talking about Bezdelic, the finer points of Bezdelic's teaching on defense, which part of that was interesting in a different way. He said that they hadn't really done that the past few years, which seemed like a little bit of a shot at the Kevin McHale, J.B. Bickerstaff era that apparently they're paying a lot more attention to detail with Jeff Bezdelic running the defense. But the really interesting thing was James saying that he wanted to be coached. And I can't tell you guys how rare that is in a star. There are so many big guns in the NBA who, I don't want to say that they're above being coached, but they think the system is them. This is someone who really legitimately wants to just fit in. He wants to be part of a basketball team just like they were in Oklahoma City. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he referenced Oklahoma City at one point and the chemistry and continuity that those guys had on and off the floor. He just wants to be a basketball player. It's not about James Harden. It's about the team. And so for him to say he wants to be coached, it's amazing how different that is from his national perception. The best tweet for Media Day I saw all day was from M.K. Bauer, great writer for the Sports Exchange here in Houston. But M.K. tweeted, "It's amazing how good James Harden is in these settings. Seismic gap between how he's perceived nationally with how he truly is." And I think that is spot on. I couldn't possibly say it better. So when you see a lot of Houston people, including myself, defend James Harden, this is why. He's always been a guy. He's a stand-up guy. He meets the media. I can think of after that terrible Suns loss towards the end of last year when Dwight, Josh Smith, a handful of guys just left the locker room without even being willing to talk to the media. Even then, James was willing to talk to us and break down what happened and talk about how he tried to fix it. And well, to a degree, he did fix it. They won the next three games and went to the playoffs, which with that group was a hell of an accomplishment. But James has always been a hard worker, and now in addition to that hard work, you're seeing, I think, more of his true sense of self. Now, it's part of it could be just maturity. I also believe, as Dave Hardesty at Clutch Fans alluded to, some of it is just that Dwight Howard's not here. And so now, you know, James can truly put his footprint on the franchise. This is truly his team. And so I think we're seeing more of James's true character come out. But when you hear these things about how he wants to be coached, when you hear him refer to needing to look in the mirror, the importance of him growing as a leader, these are great things. It's easy to believe in James Harden. He's got to prove it on the court, but I don't think you could ask for much more than what you heard from James Harden on this Friday afternoon. He's always been a top 5 to 10 player physically in terms of just his ability, and now entering his age 27 season, which is typically a big year for NBA players, a lot of times it's your prime, I think you're really starting to see that mental side of the game come around. Now, I'm not getting crazy. Even if James Harden is the best player in the league, I don't think that the Rockets can quite match the Warriors this year. But if you want the Rockets long-term to be a championship contender, this is the single biggest thing that they could have happen, which is to have James further evolve on the mental side of it. So everything we heard Friday, so far, so good. Now, after James, the next guy that I was struck by might be the second most important player on the Rockets, and that's Clint Capela. Now, we've heard a lot of good things about Capela over the offseason in terms of his work ethic, the things he's working on, but it's not just words. Looking at the guy, my goodness, he is chiseled. He said that he had gained 10 to 12 pounds, and it looks like it. You compare photos of Capela 2 years ago when he was a rookie to now, it's amazing the development. Just look at Media Day shots from 2014, compare them to now. You can see he has bulked up. He looks like a true NBA center. He looks bulkier than Nene, who came in later. Clint Capela looks chiseled. He looks ready to go. He's worked on everything from his free throws to his conditioning. And again, physically, he looks the part. The other thing that I was struck by is just how much ownership he's taking and how much he has evolved. I can remember talking to Clint when he was a rookie, when he first got up to the Rockets in April 2015. And that was literally just a year and a half ago. That was when he first started making his mark, right before the playoff push in 2015. He came up very end of the season, eventually supplanted Joey Dorsey as the backup center and got some big minutes in the playoffs. But when he came up, he was such a shy kid. His answers were generally extremely soft-spoken. He would talk for about 5 seconds at a time. You had to probe to get him to say much of anything. Now you look at him today, confidently taking that stage, responding. He's handling himself like a starting center in the NBA, and that's part of the battle. It really is, because it's not just physically being there, it's mentally taking it upon yourself to be ready day in, day out for what being a starter in the NBA means. He's a true professional, and so, again, you got to wait to see what happens on the floor, but Clint Capela, I could not have more optimism over him right now relative to expectations. He's had a wonderful offseason, and I think everybody's excited to see him get going. One of the really interesting anecdotes, a lot of people talk glowingly about Clint, but I asked Ryan Anderson a question in his press conference about who Clint might compare to, because Anderson, over the course of his career, he had played with Dwight Howard in Orlando. He had also played with Omer Asik and Anthony Davis in New Orleans, two pretty good defensive bigs. So I wanted to see what Ryan would say. And this was the last question that Anderson took. So again, it was off script. And I thought his answer was really revealing. Now, Anderson's interview, it's a really good one if you haven't heard. One thing that's great about Anderson, he's been around the league a lot. He's got that $80 million contract. So you can tell he does feel some leadership responsibility, and he's comfortable talking about a lot of players on this team. But when I asked him about Clint, I think part of the answer was revealing that he said he really didn't know about Clint. He wasn't someone that he was really that certain about when he signed that contract with the Rockets in July. But he quickly learned, and rather than just tell you about it, here's what Ryan had to say.
I love Clint. I love his effort. He works, man. I mean, a while back during when I went out for summer league in Las Vegas with the team, this kid's, you know, doing these, you know, tap drills off the backboard and sprinting and dunk, you know, all this stuff. And it's early on in the summer, you know, at that point. And he's committed to being, you know, to being a starting caliber center to being a guy that's reliable on a nightly basis. And I know that everyone has confidence in him on this team. And I'm honestly, you know, there's not, to be honest, coming onto this into this group, you know, Clint was somebody that I was sort of like, what is Clint going to be like? You know, what is his demeanor? How? And he is one of the hardest working guys I've ever been around or seen. And I think he's really going to help this team. And he understands his role. I know I keep saying that, but he's a shot blocker, set picks, roll to the basket, and he's going to get other guys open and running the court too. So I do see a lot of Dwight, you know, characteristics in him, especially when I was in Orlando with that defensive mentality, Dwight Howard, that I played alongside in Orlando. That's Clint, you know. So as long as he can do those things well, he's going to be a great, great player in this league.
Personally, I thought that was a really encouraging answer, because to throw out stuff like one of the hardest working people he's been around and compare him to Dwight Howard in Orlando in terms of his defensive impact, that is extremely high praise. So Clint Capela, he aced this media day. His teammates, his coaches, they are incredibly excited about him. Now, as far as the rest of the big men, Nene, well, God, Nene was so happy. He compared it to a kid the first day of school. He was all smiles. He could not stop talking about how the Rockets had pursued him for years. And that's one thing. Nene, in several answers, kept referring back to the Rockets pursuing him 6 years ago. And technically, I think it was 5 years ago. It was in late 2011, right after the lockout, when the Rockets were planning on trying to sign Nene with the cap room that they would have had completing the deal for Pau Gasol. So they would have had basically a core of Kyle Lowry, Pau Gasol, and Nene. And of course, David Stern's veto for basketball reasons nixed the deal, and probably to the Rockets' benefit, seeing as how they ended up a few months later getting James Harden. But with Nene today, what was interesting about hearing him talk was just how much impact that pursuit seemed to have. And it's worth keeping in mind when you hear the Rockets going after guys at the trade deadline, or especially in free agency, when you can really legally talk to these guys. Of course, there's some behind the scenes talking at the trade deadline, but it's not supposed to happen. Nobody's going to admit to it. But the NBA is a league of relationships. And you know what? Even if you can't get a guy at that particular time, just building a relationship can be helpful for down the road. So even if you hear the Rockets almost traded for someone or almost signed someone and didn't, it's not irrelevant. It's just like Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. The Rockets had almost acquired them several other times before this summer, and clearly it played a role. So with the Nay, keep that in the back of your mind, that even if you get frustrated the Rockets allegedly had a second-place finish, well, that can still pay dividends down the line. Now, the other big man potentially in the mix at center would be Denatis Mantonyunas. He was not at camp today because, well, he doesn't have a contract. And if you've listened to Locked On Rockets, well, you're pretty up-to-date about what's going on there, which is not much. It sounds like next week, October 1st, that's the deadline for qualifying offers, and we'll probably have some movement then. So Mantonyunas is going to miss at least the first day or two of camp, it looks like, potentially as much as a week. And we asked Daryl Morey, GM of the Rockets, about it today, and he couldn't comment because, of course, he just said negotiations are ongoing, and, well, there were stories last week, so we have a clue as to what's going on there. But what I thought was really interesting, while Morey is not going to talk about it because these are confidential negotiations, D'Antoni, as a coach, is allowed to talk about it. And when the media, when we ask D'Antoni about Demo, well, here's what he said.
He can't tell you that. No, I think obviously we want him here as soon as we can, but he's got to take care of his business, and the team's got to take care of their business. But when it gets to basketball, we'd love to have him, and he's going to be a big part. And he does a lot of things as playmaking that we need, and moves the ball, and he'll be ready. So as soon as the business part of it is taken care of, he's going to be ready. He's always ready. Well, you would love it. I think every coach gets nervous because it isn't. But, you know, I just treat it like, hey, he can show up with the flu and be out for a week. Yeah, so be it. And that's just how it is. So I'm not worried about it. It's something that I can't control personally. And in December, I don't think we'll be talking about, oh, he's 3 days late or got here early. Or, you know, it's, and he's smart. He's a smart player. He'll pick it up quick. And we don't do that many things complicated. So he's a good basketball player.
The most interesting thing about that to me with the certainty with which D'Antoni seemed to speak about Monty Unis being on his roster. The things he talked about in regards to his playmaking, his ability to move the ball, D'Antoni's confidence that Monty Unis could pick the system up quickly, those are not words that NBA coaches throw out if they feel there's any potential at all that the player's not going to be there because, well, it can come back to bite. Well, you said this guy's really important. How in the world could you let him get away? So to me, it shows a lot of confidence that this deal with Monty Unis is going to get done. I think it also shows you that D'Antoni does view it as important. We've heard little notes here and there. Rockets Insider, our buddy Ali Bajani, reported that D'Antoni told Donatus before free agency started that he viewed him as his main power forward. Now, he's not going to start at power forward because, of course, Ryan Anderson's getting paid $80 million to do that and hopefully spread the floor with his three-point shooting. But Monty Unis can still play big minutes both at the power forward spot and the center spots. And his passing is something that the Rockets really need in a Mike D'Antoni offense. So for D'Antoni to speak so long and so glowingly about Monty Unis, to me, it reflects a sense of confidence that, yes, this deal is going to get done. It's a nuisance. And, one thing that D'Antoni said that was an interesting point to me was that the system really isn't that complex. I've talked before about the importance of Monty Unis being in camp because, well, he wants to earn as many minutes as he can, and it's a new system, so it's important for him to be there. Well, truth be told, the system is not necessarily the most complex in the league. It's just to get going. It's to move at a faster pace, to keep the ball moving. It is not extraordinarily complex, and Monty Unis is a sharp guy. He has a relationship with D'Antoni, so even if he misses a week, I like the analogy of comparing it to the flu. It's really not that big of a deal. You don't sense much of a panic in regards to negotiations between the Rockets and Monty Unis, so hearing D'Antoni go on the record with comments like that, it sounds pretty assuring that sooner or later this is going to get done and Monty Unis is going to be a part of this team. Now, we've talked about the big men. We looked at James Harden. The other thing that struck me as really interesting was the interview with Trevor Ariza. And Ariza is an interesting guy to me entering this season because, as we've talked about the last few days, he did have an unexpected fall-off on the defensive end of the floor last year. So was it just the lagging culture? Was it the minutes? There's a lot of unanswered questions, and so you hope that he's able to pick it up, but you certainly don't know. So yeah, you want to hear from him about, well, why is it going to be different? But the other thing that's interesting about Ariza, he is a veteran. He's someone that has played on a lot of teams and a lot of different systems. Now he's in his 30s. So is Mike D'Antoni the coach for him? Is this the system for him? Why is it going to be better for Trevor Ariza this year than not? And so with his veteran acumen, that sense of known leadership, and really one of the elder statesmen in the Rockets locker room, his comments were, well, he was the first player to meet with the media, and I don't think that was a coincidence. I think they knew that, you know, he is that elder statesman, and he was a guy that would have a lot to say. And to me, I'm going to play you a couple of clips, from a couple of different questions, but here's what stood out to me in Ariza's interview.
It's like a fresh start. Coach is one of the coaches that I've always wanted to, play for throughout my career. Never got an opportunity until now. And, just speaking to James throughout the summer, knowing how much he's been working, him knowing how much that I've been working to get better, it's fun. I had the opportunity to play with Eric Gordon a little bit in New Orleans when I was in New Orleans. And, him coming aboard is I'm excited about that because he's an unbelievable player. He's had his trouble with health before, but, with our training staff here and, his work ethic, I think that he's going to be great and do great for this team. Well, I think it's just like more so reads. It's not like, this is what we're doing and this is the only way we're doing it. It's more so your feel of the game. It's no particular first, second, third, fourth option. It's just more so reading the offense and taking what the defense gives you.
Personally, I loved hearing those words, fresh start. the simplest fix for the Rockets, the easiest way to get Trevor Ariza back is if you believe that, you know what, it wasn't a physical decline. He's capable of doing the same thing he was 2 years ago when he was a stopper on a great Rockets defensive team, but that for whatever reason, the culture, it was just a bad year, and that spilled over across the board. So to hear him saying that he views it as a fresh start, to hear the relief in his voice, that's really encouraging from the context of getting Trevor Ariza back to the defender that we've seen him be, and especially the defender he was during that great 2014-2015 season when the Rockets went to the Western Conference Finals. The other thing that I thought was really neat was Ariza talking about how he wanted to play for D'Antoni and excitement about D'Antoni as his coach. It's not just an open mind, but you can sense a general admiration for Mike D'Antoni and a level of respect. And I think that's really telling because Trevor Ariza is not just a run-of-the-mill NBA veteran. You know, he's not just a, you know, just a three-point gunner who wants to, you know, get in Mike D'Antoni's system because he believes he can hang on. No, Trevor Ariza has made his mark in the NBA and earned his millions as a defense-first player. So to have a defense-first player speak that glowingly without really being provoked all that much about Mike D'Antoni, it shows you that, no, even though Mike D'Antoni has a bad reputation among a lot of fans for not necessarily caring about defense or being that diverse of a coach, the players have a different opinion. The players seem to really value him just as an all-around coach. And so to hear Trevor Ariza, a veteran, speak that way about D'Antoni, again, very encouraging signs. It's early, but you couldn't ask for more. Of course, while we're talking about defense, that's not to say there aren't shooters. This year's team has so many. We mentioned Ryan Anderson. There's also Eric Gordon, who came in incredibly well-spoken, saying that he felt completely healthy, ready to go. Pat Beverly had some amazing quotes. Love what he had to say about the protest and how much he appreciates being an American. Thought he had a great answer to that. Beverly also, funny moment, thought he knew he had a great answer to that. So as he told us a few times, he was proud of himself, but we love Pat. He's always great with the media, and he tells you, as he says, he keeps it real. He tells you what's on his mind, and as a journalist, that's all you can ask for. So there's a lot of excitement about the guards on this team, even if we don't have the time to get to them on this wrap-up. You can go to Rockets.com and view any of the sessions. But to wrap up, I thought I would play you guys basically the line of the day. And there were a lot of funny lines, a lot of laughs, but there was a question asked to both Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey about the shooters, the new shooters on this team. And D'Antoni said, oh God, he was thrilled with the signings. He could not be more pleased with the roster. And well, Daryl, he wanted to add something. So I'm going to play you this exchange.
Like Daryl said, the biggest thing, we have a lot of shooting and cures a lot of ills.
I'm excited that Matt Buller isn't going to win our shooting contest for
That's always good. It's like a bad robber.
Matt, but you won again, man.
But you know, we can, like Daryl said, the biggest thing, we have a lot of shooting and cures a lot of ills.
I'm excited that Matt Buller isn't going to win our shooting contest for our
That's good. Contest. That's always good.
It's like a bad robber. Matt, but you won again, man.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Look, I love Matt Bullard. He was a great role player on those Rockets teams in the 90s. Really one of the first bigs that could really step away from the basket and stretch the floor. You didn't have too many fours that could do that back then. So even though he was slow and a little bit injured towards the end of his career, he still had a role. Beloved also now as an announcer. But you know what? If a 49-year-old Matt Bullard is out shooting every current member of your basketball team, that's certainly not ideal. So it definitely speaks to the odd mix that the Rockets had at times these past couple of seasons, especially with the 2015-2016 team, when you had James Harden, such an able and willing passer, but without the shooters to fully take advantage of his playmaking ability. So now that you have Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson in place, two guys that should beat a 49-year-old Matt Bullard in a shooting contest on most days, it seems to be a much better mix, both off the floor with their personalities, but especially on the floor with how they can space the court and make it easier for James Harden to be the playmaker that we all know he can be. So I figure that positive anecdote is a good place to wrap up. We've covered a lot of ground. It's been a big day for the Rockets, but you know what? Tomorrow is going to be even bigger. They have two practices. It's the official start of training camp for the 2016-2017 season. I will be there, and we'll try and get you even more content tomorrow and in the days ahead as the Rockets finally start playing basketball, and it won't be just words, but we'll actually be able to compare all these positive words with what's going on the floor and get even a better sense of what this team is going to look like. So again, thanks to all of you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. I put up a lot of quotes from Media Day today. If you'd like more insider intel on what was going on, you can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets, and you can always email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. And again, you can always go to Rockets.com or Sports790.com. At Sports Talk 790, of course, we're the official flagship station of the team with all the official press conferences as well as the exclusive interviews that 790 got in addition to the press conferences. So there's all sorts of great audio for today. I encourage you guys to go listen to it. I think this is going to be a fun team, and I would anticipate having even more good content as in the days ahead as the season finally gets started. So stick with Locked On Rockets. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back with you again very soon.